So beginning last Wednesday evening and into Thursday, Jews all around the world celebrated Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. And we are now in the period of 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur called the Days of Awe, or the Days of Repentance. This is a time set aside for serious introspection, a time to consider the sins of the previous year and to repent. According to Jewish tradition, on Rosh Hashanah, God inscribes a person's fate for the coming year in a book, the Book of Life, and waits until Yom Kippur to seal the verdict. And the book will determine for the next year who will live and who will die, who will have good fortune and who will not. But it is not set in stone. There are three things people can do during these days of awe that can alter God's decree: repentance, prayer, and good deeds. During the days of awe, a Jewish person tries to amend his or her behavior and seek forgiveness for wrongs done against God and against other people. The evening and the day of Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, are set aside for public and private petitions and confessions of guilt. At the end of Yom Kippur, one hopes that they have been forgiven by God. The common greeting among Jews during this time is Lashana Tova, which means may you be inscribed and sealed for a good year. I choose to preach on forgiveness during the Jewish High Holy Days each year because I think it is one of the most important spiritual concepts for us to grapple with. And to be honest, it's also one of the most difficult. If you can master forgiveness, you hold the key to your own peace and happiness. Some people's lives are marked by a lifelong struggle to forgive somebody who maybe hurt them at a tender age. Others are racked with guilt about some event from their past and have struggled to find a way to forgive themselves. Even if there isn't some easily identifiable, long-standing source of pain and guilt in your life, we all need to be better at forgiveness. And believe it or not, forgiveness is a spiritual practice, which means it is a skill that we can actually get better at with intentionality and with repetition. And fortunately, life presents us with multiple opportunities to practice forgiveness every single day. I want to be sure that we are sharing understanding about what forgiveness is and what it is not. At its core, it is about restoring our mind to peacefulness and our heart to wholeness. The word atonement, broken down, is at-one-ment, the state of being at one. Forgiveness is the way that we return to our original blessed state of wholeness and completeness. So think of it this way, for those of you who are visual the way I am. Your inner being is like a beautiful mountain lake. When you become upset by something, the surface of the lake becomes disturbed and choppy. And if you hold on to the source of your upset, it will continue to make waves and stir up the sediment. Forgiveness removes the source of the turbulence and allows the lake to grow calm and peaceful again. Forgiveness is always for the benefit of the person doing the forgiving and not for the one who has done the offense. It is for you and no one else. It doesn't matter how righteous and blameless we are or how wrong and offensive the other person is. When we hold on to our hurt feelings, we are choosing to redirect some of our precious attention to suffering. Your attention, your awareness, is your number one resource, which you have total control over. You get to decide where your mind goes. You are not a passenger in your own mind. You have the wheel. And that means that you don't have to watch helplessly as your thoughts circle back to a past hurt over and over again. You can instead choose to release the blame and judgment that you have been carrying. This quote I love from Jack Kornfield puts it very simply. He says, "Forgiveness means giving up all hope of a better past." Forgiveness is the process by which we release the barriers to love that we have constructed around our own heart. These barriers hold us separate from one another and even divide us up within ourselves. So how do we actually forgive? It is as simple and as difficult as changing your mind. It's about changing the way that you've been thinking about something. Instead of fixating on the wrongness of an offense, choose to overlook it. Rather than going over and over in your mind how right you are to be angry, acknowledge that you'd rather not feel that way anymore and make a conscious decision to let the issue drop. When you do this, you are choosing not to energize the negative feelings, but to actively move your attention away. Now, I want to state clearly that forgiveness is not about glossing over hurts or condoning bad behavior or allowing mistreatment to continue. We can and we must set boundaries to protect ourselves and other vulnerable people from those who would harm them. But sometimes we think that by not forgiving somebody, we can punish them. We can make them see from our anger and the withdrawal of our love that they are wrong and we are right. But the truth is, we are hurting our own being just as much, if not more, when we harbor resentment and anger. Our hearts were not made for that. I talk sometimes about training our eyes to see the divine spark in everyone, which means seeing other people through your own holy eyes and not through the eyes of your ego. When your ego gets involved in interpretation, it's like wearing grimy, scratched, streaky glasses. You can't see clearly. The ego is all about keeping score and judgments and opinions and being right. Forgiveness means consciously letting go of that ego's interpretation. It's a letting go of your grievance and your judgments about how bad or wrong the other person is. While these interpretations may be rational and logical and absolutely true on the egoic level, they do not reflect the divine truth. We can see human stupidity everywhere. And we have a tendency to fixate on it, to point it out to one another, and to comment on it. If that resonates for you at all, I invite you to try an experiment. For just one day, or part of a day, try to see the divine being in everyone you meet, especially if somebody is irritating. It's not easy. But a technique that I have found works for me is to try to see the innocent, vulnerable, sweet, tender baby that person was, and underneath it all, still is. With practice, just for effect, yes. With practice, you can begin to hone your eyes so that you start seeing everyone you meet as the divine being that is the core of who they really are. Try that for a day and just see how you feel at the end of the day. It's not rocket science, it's not new age woo-woo and magic. It just straight up feels better. We've all tried the other way and it doesn't feel good. We end up feeling angry and bitter and isolated from other people. Even when you can rationally justify feeling the way you do, your righteousness is toxic. It's corrosive to your sense of well-being. So my partner, Chris, had an experience recently where he got terrible service at a restaurant. The server was not just forgetful, but was actively rude to him. He was paying the bill and preparing to leave an obviously low tip for the server to comment on the terrible service. But he knew that leaving a conspicuously low tip would also mean that he would more likely hold on to this unpleasant feeling for the rest of the day. So he decided to just tip as he normally would so that he could leave that experience behind and move on with his day. If you are holding on to something, if you're holding something over somebody, if you're holding a grudge, if somebody is in your emotional debt, try imagining letting that go and just see how it feels for a moment. Look closely at the bitterness and imagine letting it go. What would that look like? What would it feel like? And try this inwardly too, towards yourself, because most of our judgments are turned inward just as much or more than they're turned outward. We never judge others without also judging ourselves. It is always a double-edged sword. So learning to forgive does not mean that you will never feel angry or fury when somebody threatens your life on the freeway. It just means that you'll be able to recover more quickly and more completely. I will tell a story about myself. I was on my way here to the fellowship the other day when I noticed the car behind me was tailgating me. I mean, all I could see in my rearview mirror was the grill of this truck. And I slowed down a little and I sped up a little, and nothing I did would make this driver back off. I could feel the anger and the fury, the road rage building in me. We were on Del Dios Highway, so it's a one lane. So I, at my first opportunity, I just said, I'm going to pull over and let this guy go. And as he passed, we exchanged menacing looks at one another. And I'm ashamed to admit, symbolic hand gestures. As I continued the drive, I stayed upset for a little while. But then I remembered that I was preaching about forgiveness today and thought, maybe this would be a good opportunity to practice what I'm preaching. So I did. I let it go. Every time I found my attention go back to that driver and how upsetting his reckless driving was, I caught myself and just simply redirected my thoughts. It was a stunningly beautiful day, as today is, and I became present to just the beauty of this drive along Lake Hodges. I sunk into the rhythm of the music that I was listening to, and before long, I was feeling peaceful again. I noticed that by the time I arrived here at the fellowship, I could think about the driver of the truck without feeling the anger anymore. The energy of my upset had dissipated much more quickly than if I had nursed those feelings of righteous indignation. So today I'm going to give you each an opportunity to practice forgiving. You each have in your order of service a slip of paper. And if you do not have a writing implement, let the ushers know they have pencils. They're ready to hand. And I'm going to invite you to think, take some time and consider if there is something that you would like to let go of. What or who do you need to forgive? And then in a moment, we will have an opportunity to release that paper into a basket that will come by you and be passed out. And I want to invite you to really consider that rituals are only as meaningful as we allow them to be for ourselves. But after you have written something on your paper, you may feel like tearing it up. You may feel like crumpling it up into a little ball or folding it as small as you can, whatever you want to do with it before you drop it into the basket. But I want you, when you drop it, in that moment when you are releasing it, to imagine releasing what it is that you wrote on that paper and just see how that feels. I have a reading to just help us keep in mind all of the things that we might consider letting go of. What do you need to forgive so that you can breathe easier? What do you need to let go of to be free? Is there something that you have been carrying that you can put down now? Let go of all that binds you, of all that burdens you, of all that shames you. Let go of fear, of trespasses and transgressions, of woundedness. Let go of guilt. Let go of anger. Let go of small-mindedness and pettiness. Let go of ways of being that no longer work for you. Let go of what you cannot change, of what you regret, of that which haunts you. Let go. May you be released. May the letting go last, and you can continue to practice, of course. These will be symbolically shredded in the shredder.